The Monty Show on a Wednesday already. This week is just flying by. I'm Monty. That's Jake. Say hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, yeah. We got a lot to get to today. I don't know how to say this, but Donald Trump apparently is a hero.
We have to get back to Utah. It's that simple. We have to make change in Utah.
We have to affect change in the great state of Utah. Yes. Because they're trying to honor President Trump with the Donald J. Trump Utah National Parks Highway. What in the hell? We'll talk all about that. I'm not in favor. We have got a ton of NBA today. We have got massive news in Seahawk country. And today we're going to ask you a question. Would you rather have your legs cut off with a chainsaw?
See, Periscope agrees. They want us to come back to Utah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Would you rather have your legs cut off with a chainsaw while riding your bicycle, or would you like to be poisoned by nerve gas by the Russians? Both of those things happen. You can only pick one. We'll give you about 35 minutes to think about that. A little chili peppers. I incorrectly noted that we came into the show with Reliant K yesterday, Jake. Who was it?
That was Hoobastank.
Bless you. All right. This is definitely Red Hot Chili Peppers. No question about that. Massive earth-shifting changes in the NFC West today as the Seattle Seahawks have begun tearing it down, Jake. And the news, if you're a Seahawk fan, is probably not comforting to know that Michael Bennett is a Philadelphia Eagle. Richard Sherman is likely to be traded or released. Cam Chancellor and Cliff Avril probably will not play in 2018. They both have serious neck injuries. And Brian Cushing was in Seattle visiting the Seahawks today. Talk about change a-coming. When I say to you, Richard Sherman's not going to be on the team, Michael Bennett's not going to be on the team, Chancellor and Avril are not going to play, how much different is this Seahawk team going to be?
I think it's a lot different. I think the defense has lost its swag on some level. I think the Legion of Boom, obviously, that era has come to an end. And as much as I was not a Seahawk fan, I was very much a fan of watching that defense play as one unit. It was always exciting to watch them play.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember in the Super Bowls that they played in together, specifically the one against the Broncos with Peyton Manning, they absolutely owned that team, you know? And so I just think that was a special defense, an all-time defense, and it's kind of a sad day that they're breaking up. But with that said, I think for the West, it is a great opportunity for teams like the Rams and Garoppolo and the Niners to rise now. I'm not saying the Niners are going to be some great team, but I think now that the Legion of Boom and the Seahawks may be, you know, ratcheting it down a little bit, they're not going to be as good or that over-the-top good, there's an opportunity now.
Well, before we get to the rest of the division, one guy stands out to me the most, and that is Russell Wilson, because Russell's a guy that obviously is believed to be one of the best quarterbacks in football, but he's not a great outward rah-rah leader guy. By all accounts, he is a peacemaker and a bridge builder, which are important in locker rooms. You got to have those guys. But what John Gruden has said in the past, and what a lot of great football guys have said in the past, is it's great that you build bridges with your teammates, but I need you to lead them over those bridges. And that's not who Russell Wilson is. So I'm curious who takes over the leadership reins on that football team, because you began this deconstruction 2 years ago with Marshawn Lynch, and it slowly and surely continued. The Golden Tates of the world, Marshawn Lynch, now big names like Michael Bennett, big name like Richard Sherman, big names like Cam Chancellor and Cliff Avril. Now, obviously, Bobby Wagner is there, and I think he's one of the best linebackers in football.
Yeah.
But this defense will be remarkably different, and it can't possibly be as good as it was. And I think a lot more of the onus now falls on Russell Wilson to convert on third down. Do you believe he's a guy that can carry that kind of load and be a leader of a football team?
Yeah, I don't question his ability to perform on the field. I mean, I think just this past season, there were all kinds of highlights. And I think it was like a 5-week stretch where he was just putting play up after play up of him scrambling around, buying time, making plays he shouldn't be making. So I think on the field it's not a problem. And just because he's not an outward leader doesn't mean he's not a leader of the football team. I just think he's not that guy who's out in front and making big splash comments. And he's not out like LeBron is out.
Right, but it's not even his outward leadership. How many games did that defense win for them?
Oh, plenty. Plenty.
And is he capable of winning those games without that defense?
I think it's unfair to ask him to win the same amount of games the defense may have won. But I do think it's fair to ask Russell Wilson to make the extra play, to get them that special play, to lead them down the field with 90 seconds left and one timeout to win a ball game. I think that's very fair.
Right, but I think you have to ask some real questions about the way this roster is going to be built. And they're a fantastic organization. John Schneider is a great general manager. Pete Carroll's a very good head coach. I have a lot of belief in those guys. I think they'll do what needs to be done. But if you're intending on replacing a Michael Bennett with a Brian Cushing, that's not quite the replacement that you need.
That's not a like-for-like replacement at
all. Well, but it's not that it's like-for-like. That's not – you need performer for performer. That's what you have to get out of the guy that comes in. If you want to replace Michael Bennett, go get a Mo Wilkerson. Go get an interior lineman. Go get somebody that can play the end and the tackle. Because that's what Bennett's so valuable for. He can play the pass rush and he can play the run. He's a three-down defensive lineman. Those guys do not grow on trees anymore. And maybe their intent is to draft that guy. I don't know. But I look now at the rest of the division. I think the 49ers are in the best position, second only to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
One, I don't believe that the Arizona Cardinals are good at building football teams, which is a small problem for a football team. So I don't have any faith that they're going to address the quarterback position properly, which would be spending every dollar you have, not on the bad knee of Tyrann Mathieu, and restructuring his deal or releasing him. I don't think they'll do that. And that means they probably can't afford Kirk Cousins. And I think the San Francisco 49ers now have the right guys in place. The Shanahans, the Lynches, ownership out of the way. You have an organization there. And I think it's beginning to work. There's a new enthusiasm there with Jimmy G. You see the way that Carlos Hyde runs the ball, though he's got an interesting situation. I think they've done a lot of the right things recently. The Arizona Cardinals have not. The Rams traded Alec Ogletree today, which is a huge move.
Yeah.
He's been a linchpin on that defense. He's been a big-time guy in that locker room.
Yep.
I think that's very interesting. A lot of guys in that locker room were not happy. Todd Gurley on social media today essentially said that he was not happy that they traded Alec Ogletree.
Well, who would be?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough decision to make, but they got multiple draft picks for him. The Rams are smart, they're young, they're agile, and I don't mean on the field. When I say that the LA Rams are agile, they move quickly as an organization.
They do what the Cardinals don't.
Yeah, they saw an opportunity, and they moved on that opportunity. And they sent Ogletree, in my opinion, Ogletree's a guy that you could not send in the division, you didn't want him sticking around. And if you had to move him, I think, they did the right thing. They got pieces that they could leverage to better the football club.
Yeah.
And I think they did that. And
now you have to execute on those draft picks. That's really where you're at now.
Yeah, but I also think that you have to be really smart. And I don't know how you fix this. I don't know. And again, this is just me. I look in my head and I start thinking to myself, well, that Seahawk defense is going to struggle. The Seahawk offense already sputters because it's Russell Wilson and everybody else. That team's going to be third or fourth in the division. So who ascends? Well, it won't be the Arizona Cardinals. And so now you say to yourself, well, it's the Rams and the 49ers. And we'll see how the 49ers draft, but you already have pieces there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the Rams are the best team as one team right now. It'll be interesting to see how the Seahawks they're not rebuilding, but how they re-add talent back to what they have already to get good again.
It's really hard to do that quickly.
It is.
It's really hard to pivot.
Yeah.
When you send out impact players, And there's one other angle on this Michael Bennett story I think is interesting. By the way, Martellus Bennett got released by the Patriots today, his brother. But Michael Bennett, they said they traded Michael Bennett not for salary cap, but because they wanted to quiet things down. So you're releasing Richard Sherman, and you've traded Michael Bennett, the two most vocal guys. How much will that hurt them in free agency? How much will that hurt their reputation in the league?
I mean, I think the Bennett situation is interesting because of, you know, the kind of trouble he got in off the field and the kind of situations he found himself off the field. As far as Richard Sherman goes, I don't know. I mean, I think Richard Sherman, he was very vocal about a lot of different topics because that's who Richard Sherman is. He's a loudmouth. He's a guy that is very vocal, outspoken. So if you don't want that kind of guy on your team, then I guess, yeah, release him. But I think a lot of NFL players are like that.
Yep. I also think that this idea, the Houston Texans essentially let it be known that they won't sign a player that's been involved in any protests or has knelt during a national anthem.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins said that all of their players will stand and then later retracted that, but you can't unwind the watch.
You can't do that.
So I think it's really an interesting time. I think player owner relations in the NFL are at a real tipping point. And Periscope is asking about Nick Foles. I don't think there's a whole lot of dance partners for the Eagles with Nick Foles when they're asking for a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback.
He is.
He's a Super Bowl champion quarterback. But he's not, in my opinion, a guy that can play 17 weeks of a season and then through the playoffs and lead you to a Super Bowl. He's not that guy. There's five of those guys in the entire world right now, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it is an elite class, no doubt.
It is. I just think that it's going to be very difficult to get a first-round pick for a journeyman, for a guy that was darn near retired. And that's very difficult. You've heard all of the normal suitors.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals amongst them.
Which I think that'd be a good move for them.
I think the Arizona Cardinals can't take a risk. And is giving up a first-round pick for Nick Foles a risk for the Cardinals?
Well, no, because they don't draft well either, in my opinion.
They haven't. That's very true. But they have huge cap issues. They're really cash-strapped because you have deals with Jared Valdir and Tyrann Mathieu that are just terrible contracts right now. You've got to find a way to either release them after June 1st to save the $11 million, which, by the way, that's the number on Richard Sherman. Periscope was asking how much money do the Seahawks save on Sherman. It's $11 million. I don't think it's a good fit for the Cardinals. I really don't. I don't know where he ends up. The Broncos are not going to trade for him when it's going to be a first-round pick. I cannot believe that would happen.
Yeah.
I just don't. Aqib Talib today said he wants to be released and that he would accept a trade to the Patriots.
Okay.
But other than that, he will not. Well, he wants to be a Patriot. And he said, I will not accept a trade. I want to be released. I want to be a free agent. Aqib Talib's a gigantic pain in the ass. But, man, that guy's a good football player.
He is.
So I think he'll have a home. I don't know that Nick Foles has a whole lot of value. And I think I don't have a problem with the Eagles asking for a first-round pick, but I'd love to know the idiot that's going to give up a first-round pick for Nick Foles.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're the Eagles, you have to ask the question. And at some point, just like in any other negotiation, if they're not getting any suitors for Nick Foles, then they'll come down on asking.
I'd hang on to him.
I'd hang on to him. Yeah.
Carson Wentz was going to be the MVP before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles won you a Super Bowl, right? Okay, great. So let's do that again. You can't tell me Nick Foles is going to complain about that.
No.
He doesn't seem like that
guy. He seems like a low-maintenance guy.
But think about it this way. Who are the guys that Nick Foles is competing with? Well, he's competing with Case Keenum, who I think is better than he is. A.J. McCarron might as well be a rookie because I just don't think we have any idea what A.J. McCarron's made of. Sam Bradford, I think I'd probably take Nick Foles over Sam Bradford just because of the injury issue. The only guy that I think is head and shoulders better than Nick Foles right now is I'd take Tyrod Taylor over Nick Foles. I really like what Tyrod Taylor was able to show when he was given the full opportunity to play in Buffalo. And then they messed around with him, starting a rookie who looked terrible and pissed off the locker room. And I think Tyrod Taylor, if you can get Tyrod Taylor, I love that. And the guy that's full of intrigue to me is Teddy Bridgewater. He's not really played after the knee injury, but by all accounts, he's come back. And he's as close to 100% of who he was as he's ever going to get.
Yeah.
I wonder if somebody gives him a shot.
Oh, he'll get a shot. I don't think he's not done.
But I also look at names like Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick's better than...
I have real reservations that he'll ever get another shot.
Me too.
Because he's better
than every guy that I just mentioned. He's better than Case Keenum, AJ McCarron, Sam Bradford, Tyrod Taylor, and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
He's better. The only guy that's out there is a free agent. Coming up next week, Kirk Cousins is better than Colin Kaepernick.
Different guys, though, too. Yeah. Completely different setup as quarterback. Yeah. I would agree that Cousins is better right now value-wise than Cap is, but I don't know. I guess Cap is just a black hole of stuff.
It's a mess. It would be a loud signing.
No, like, whoever signs him... You just have to be ready to field questions for months and months and months and months. Like, you just have to be ready for that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm really curious to see how his lawsuit turns out against the league for collusion, because now we're hearing stories about how a member of the military went to the Ravens and Steve Bisciotti, their owner, he and this member of the military had a conversation, and that member of the military told Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, if you sign this guy, it's really going to upset the military and you're going to lose support there. And then all these soldiers came out in December, I think it was, late in the year, and said, yeah, we have no problem with him protesting. You know, it's that kind of dichotomy. But Steve Bisciotti did not sign Colin Kaepernick because of what this conversation turned out to be. So there are teams who want Colin Kaepernick. It's very clearly not the Houston Texans. It's not going to be the Miami Dolphins. It's probably not going to be the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And if you are a team and you see a guy like Case Keenum, who represented himself pretty damn well in Minnesota last year, you're not going to take a risk on Cap. You're going to sign Case Keenum.
Yeah.
But I have a real problem if Colin Kaepernick isn't somebody's third quarterback for training camp. What sense does that make? What do you have to lose by giving him a training camp deal? What do the Arizona Cardinals have to lose?
Just bad PR, that's it.
They don't have a single quarterback on their roster. What do the Arizona Cardinals have to lose by giving Colin Kaepernick a camp contract?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just think, again, I'll say what I said when this whole controversy started. I think teams are unwilling to take the beating in the public eye. They don't want the attention.
I think that's some of it. I don't think that's all of it. I think there are some owners who are willing to do that. I think there are some owners who are more willing than you think to put themselves out on a limb. But that's just me. Hey, let's switch gears, go to the NBA. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, because, you know, I find it interesting that Mark Cuban is in the middle of a sex scandal again.
Again. How many times, again? Bro? How many times?
Well, this is the second major one. You know, the Mavericks had that deal several weeks ago now where it hostile work environment, all kinds of sexual harassment, just a nasty, nasty set of circumstances. Now we find out that Mark Cuban was accused of sexual assault in 2011. And the story, and I will tell you right now that this is not a kind story. The language is going to be fine. But it is one of these things where Mark Cuban was drunk in a bar and he was talking to a hot woman, and the woman says he was slurring his speech and his eyes were glossy and half closed.
All the usuals.
She said, I'd like to take a picture with you. And he said, okay, fine. They take a picture, and he was not charged. He allegedly stuck his hand down the back of her pants and used his fingers.
Mm.
That's her claim. Mark Cuban says that never happened. He took a lie detector test and passed. But the cops on the scene say that they saw all of these pictures that were taken of Cuban with this woman. And he is clearly slumping over as if to be reaching with his hand. The details go on and on. No matter how you slice this, this is an ugly incident for Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Why is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks drunk in a bar in position to be accused of sexually assaulting somebody? If you're Mark Cuban, how are you in that position?
This is what we always say about any popular athlete of any kind. Like this is what we said when Draymond got in the Michigan State bar fight, right? When
yeah, he how's Draymond Green like, in how, position how to punch are, a Michigan exactly. State football player?
So how is it that the guys of influence, player, owner, anybody, are in a position to essentially lose their ass in a bar fight or in a bar incident? Or how are you intoxicated out in public as someone with that kind of wealth and that kind of influence? It's just not smart.
I don't get it.
You have a super nice place to stay. You got everything you could ever need, and yet you're out in a bar.
You're a billionaire, Mark Cuban, and you're drunk in a bar, so hammered you don't remember exactly what happened, and you're accused of sexually assaulting a woman. How does that happen? Now, fast forward to where we are today. You were accused of sexual assault in 2011. Your organization is said to be a Playboy club where men in the office openly watch porn on their computers, where women are continually sexually harassed and felt to be intimidated and don't want to work there.
Yeah.
How has Mark Cuban not been asked to step away from the Mavericks?
Because he owns a team.
Well, if you're an owner and your presence is detrimental to the league, the commissioner can ask you to step away.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban did absolutely nothing to stop the situation with his organization, where he had a guy twice accused and charged with domestic violence, and he knew about it and allowed him to continue working there. He admitted he knew about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mark Cuban obviously is not a great human being. He's a billionaire. He's outspoken, probably says some things he shouldn't say, and now, as it turns out, not surprisingly, does some things he shouldn't do. And
not surprisingly.
It's not surprising at all. I mean, if you look at if you just evaluate his character based on the things he said, I mean, it's not surprising that this would happen.
As an owner of a professional sports franchise, should you not be held to a higher standard?
Oh, you should. There's no question about it. It's such an elite group of people. I mean, the entire world probably has only a couple hundred owners.
Yeah.
You know, so you're in an elite class financially. You're in an elite class influence-wise.
One of the best leagues in the world in the NBA.
Exactly. The NBA is the leading NBA, you know, league in
basketball league in the world.
So I just think guys like him don't value the position they're in. They don't understand, well, hey, you know, if I have to sell this team, who cares? Because I'm gonna be a billionaire 10 times over, whatever it would be.
Yeah,
so they don't have any
you.
Problem doing things that are disrespectful or detrimental.
I agree. So Mark Cuban, by the way, says that sexual assault didn't happen. He passed a lie detector test. You were hammered, man. I don't know how you would fail the lie detector test because you can't remember what happened.
Should have never been there.
Hey, did you see the billboards go up in L.A. for LeBron James?
LeBron.
I'm sorry. L.A. Bron.
Yeah.
Thank you. What did you think of that? As a longtime Lakers season ticket holder put up multiple billboards. One was all the retired Laker jerseys, the banners that they have with all the retired jerseys on them at Staples Center. And they added the 23 with a crown.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about how they win banners. They don't, you know, follow a process. They just win banners. And like all of these different images on billboards to try and combat Philadelphia's approach at LeBron James. If you're LeBron, are you going to LA or are you going to Philadelphia? Because I can see it both ways. Remember, and if you believe the rumor mill, LeBron's wife was in Philadelphia visiting private schools.
Oh, they're scouting. There's no doubt about it. I mean, at this point, with where they are at in the season, he obviously projects forward. He understands what's coming up this summer. So they're scouting. There's no doubt about it. But for me, why would you not go to L.A.? Why, you know, you have businesses there. You have homes there. Yep. Like you
have a production company.
And by the way, you're going to play for the Lakers. It's the Lakers, bro. Like, I know it's Lonzo right now, and they're young. But if LeBron
goes
there,
they're competing to win every game.
No, I know, but that's the difference. I think people don't realize that. People are so enamored with the process and Embiid and Simmons and the Sixers and what they're doing and the Fultz saga that I think they're not realizing that the Lakers are actually a decent team. I don't think the Lakers are a bottom feeder anymore. I mean, they're certainly good for, I would say if they had played this well the whole season, they're probably a 7 or an 8 seed, a 6, 7, 8 seed. They're probably going to the playoffs. Yeah. So they're actually a solid team, and I think if LeBron goes there, it's not about whether he goes there, it's the guy that follows him there.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because we watched Oklahoma City fall flat on their face again last night.
Again.
And they continue to sputter. And the notable free agent there, obviously, is Paul George.
Yeah.
And that looks like it is falling apart. And I know I said this yesterday on the show, but I have real, real concern that the Thunder won't make the playoffs. They're a game and a half up on the Clippers right now. They are 2 games up on a resurgent Utah Jazz team. If they miss the playoffs, I got to think that Paul George leaves there. If you got LeBron and Paul George to L.A., and by the way, if they make the playoffs, I think Paul George is a Laker.
I don't think Paul George is a Thunder next year. That's
I don't think so either. But if you look at the Lakers are in a position where they have a good young nucleus now. They're winning games. They're playing well. Julius Randle, I think, is playing the best basketball of his career. Lonzo seems to have turned a corner, although I'm not ready to pronounce him a great three-point shooter yet.
No.
But Kyle Kuzma is clearly a guy that understands how to play the game at this level.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really matters to me at this point is, do they work hard and are they good defensively? And the answer is yes and yes.
And the players that have left have looked great.
Yeah. Larry Nance starting in Cleveland, you know, Clarkson, like everybody that's left there, even Corey Brewer now in Oklahoma City, really a good defender in Oklahoma City. So you have all of these guys that are all positive signs for any free agent that would want to go to LA. By the way, it's the Lakers. And that's a marquee franchise. You win a championship ring that has the Lakers on the side of it. I mean, it's a legacy.
And he's got to win again. I mean, obviously, Cleveland will be in the playoffs, but
they're not winning this year.
I don't think they're winning this year. You're either going to see the Warriors or the Rockets. I mean, I don't like their chances against either of those teams. I mean, that's an absolute ass kicking either way you look at it.
Right now, it'd be Cleveland, Philly. In round one, how awesome would that
be? That would be exciting, and I got to tell you, I wouldn't put it past Philly to push them deep into that series. I'm not saying Philly would win that series, but I would not put it past the Sixers to push them deeper into that series.
Oh, no. I think that really could be something spectacular.
Because who's the answer for Embiid? I mean, I know it's Nance, but I mean, a real true answer, they don't really have one.
Oh, I think Larry Nance versus Joel Embiid would be fantastic.
It'd be an
playoff
outstanding
basketball
matchup.
Yeah,
for
because
sure.
You're the reason that Joel Embiid is so good is because he can put the ball on the floor.
Yeah.
He can make a jump shot, but he can also put a ball on the floor and bully his way to the basket, which he's not going to be able to do against Larry Nance because Larry's quicker and moves his feet. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a home run. Of a playoff series. I don't have any doubt about that.
Can we guarantee that they get to the finals this year? And I don't think you can.
No. The Cavs?
Yeah.
I don't think the Cavs are the best team in the East.
Do they get to the conference finals then? Because I don't know that they even get there.
I don't think so. I mean, Toronto is better than Cleveland. Boston, I don't know what to make of Boston.
Depends on the night.
I don't know what to make of Boston. I want them to be better defensively.
Yeah.
And they're not. Marcus Smart is back now. I think that makes a huge difference for them. But they've got to find a way to get consistent performances out of guys that are very... Kyrie really is the only guy that you can count on there. Jason Tatum, I know we've had this discussion 100 times. Jason Tatum is wildly inconsistent, and I think really has just run out of gas. He looks like a tired basketball player to me.
Which is not surprising.
No,
it is a fact.
But it's not that it's a fact. It's a problem.
Mm.
It is a problem. Al Horford looks awful. Al Horford, who does Al Horford play in a Cleveland-Boston series? I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah,
what do you do with Al Horford right now? He's a nice player who does the intangible things, but he doesn't score consistently. And he is not the guy that you can turn to anymore.
Yeah.
And when they got him, it was a decent move, but now his contract's an albatross. I don't know what you do with him. I look at Baines, you know, Jaylen Brown. They're just guys right now. Jaylen Brown is either awesome or he's just strictly average. You know, and Greg Monroe has been just a waste. I love Rozier.
Yeah.
I like what Rozier brings to the table.
I don't know. My feeling on the Celtics is they don't have enough depth to win a championship. I just don't see it.
Who's the best team in the East?
Well, right now it's Toronto. I think who gives the West the biggest fight? I think it's Cleveland. But it's hard to say. It's really hard
Could
to say.
Could it be Washington? Wow. Could it be Washington? That's a team I think is not deep enough. Here nor there. The Cavs, in my opinion, will need Kevin Love, and they will need to gel really well. And we're going to find out because they're going on a trip that is going to be really
tonight
difficult.
Tonight against the Nuggets.
That's a huge game. That's a, you know who that's a huge game for? That's a huge game for the Utah Jazz. Because the Jazz, you need to look at every game that the Nuggets are playing.
Game back.
You are simply a game back of the Denver Nuggets right now. And they're not playing fantastic basketball. Losing to the Dallas Mavericks by 11?
Not good.
Good Lord. And giving up 118 points to the Dallas Mavericks. And you let Dirk Nowitzki beat you from the three-point line. Like they're just they have the ability to have those nights. They go back-to-back on the road and beat the Grizzlies and the Cavaliers, and then they lose to the Mavericks. And now you come back home and you play the Cavs tonight on national TV.
Good luck.
Huge game. It's a huge game. And the Jazz, in my opinion, you know, the Jazz-Pacer game is a huge game tonight. That's a really big game for the Jazz.
Yeah.
So there are big games in the West coming down the stretch. I think LeBron ends up in L.A., and I don't think they win a championship this year. Speaking of which, I do want to talk about enjoyable players to watch.
Yeah.
Because we were watching that Thunder-Rockets game last night. I just don't like watching Russell Westbrook play basketball. Like
the Thunder were the more, or the Rockets had the more enjoyable players to watch. Chris
By
Paul
far.
Is a joy to watch.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Harden guy. Harden's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like when he's playing well, he's got handles, he can shoot, like... He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook is not an enjoyable basketball player to watch. Carmelo Anthony is not an enjoyable basketball player to watch. Did you see Carmelo Anthony yelling at Steven Adams because Steven Adams missed a defensive rotation?
Yeah. Where was the effing
Harden?
Help?
Yeah. Like, that's why you know that team is not together. Yeah. That experiment hasn't worked. But it got Jake and I talking about who are the enjoyable players to watch. You have one guy in the league. Can you pick out one guy that you just love watching play?
Yeah, it's Durant for me. I mean, it's still Durant. I mean, there's a lot of candidates and there's a lot of guys that I like to watch, but there's a certain... It's interesting when you watch the Warriors play. Kevin Durant sometimes is just kind of coasting through the game in certain
yes.
sections of the game.
Yes.
And then it's time for him to turn it on. And when he does, that's the guy I'm talking about being really exciting to watch because he can get by... Just about anybody. He makes shots. You're like, man, I don't think he's going to make this. And then he knocks it down clean. So I just love watching him play. But there's a ton of guys that are great to watch.
If he is on TV, I am never missing Kristaps Porzingis is one of my favorite players. Right now, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell's fun to watch.
I love watching Mitchell and Gobert playing off of each other. Donovan Mitchell's not the best defender in basketball, but he is one of the guys that works hard, and he understands already how to use Rudy Gobert. I think they're fun to watch. Devin Booker is fun to watch. Under the radar guy, De'Aaron Fox is fun to watch play basketball. When the Kings are playing well and he's able to run, get up and down the floor,
yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox is fun to watch play basketball. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's an interesting guy to me. Giannis is Mike Trout, right?
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo might be the most talented player in the NBA, but he's in Milwaukee. And so he doesn't get the run.
He's coming for that MVP next year.
Well, they're going to have to win first.
Yeah.
He'll win an MVP on merit. He won't win an MVP because they're winning right now.
Right.
He's easily the most valuable player to his team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He's not going to win that award. I mean, I think if they make the playoffs and play well, and next year maybe he wins.
I think next year he will.
I look at guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo. If he was a Knick, a Bull, a Laker, a Clipper.
Celtic.
A Celtic? Forget it. Can you imagine just the short distance between Milwaukee and Chicago and the impact that that has on your career?
Massive.
It's huge, man. It's huge. It's why Donovan Mitchell is something so unique, because he's getting huge national run in Utah. And they're fighting for a playoff spot. That's how dynamic Donovan Mitchell is.
Yeah.
So I actually really like him. You know, obviously, Paul George, Curry, KD, Kyrie.
For me, Curry has fallen down the ranks a little bit.
You don't find him fun to watch?
No, I do find him fun to watch. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when we stack him up against everybody else who's fun to watch, he's a little bit lower for me. I'd put LeBron in front of him. I would put Harden in front of him. KD, certainly. Giannis in front of him. Curry's fun to watch when he's making a lot of his shots. When they're in that transition flow and they have the momentum and he makes that crazy long shot. Like last year against OKC to win the game, he makes that like 35-foot three to win the game.
Yeah.
Like that's when he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But if he's not, if he's having a bad shooting night or something like that and he's just off, it's not that much fun to watch him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think my one guy is probably Kristaps Porzingis. I really like watching him play. But it's hard not to enjoy the Western Conference right now.
Yeah.
There's just so much talent. Like, I don't, and I hate saying this, I really don't like watching Minnesota play. They're not an enjoyable club to watch play. And I really like Karl Anthony Towns. I think before it's over, he'll be the best player in the NBA. He's got to get better defensively.
Yeah.
But they're a boring team to watch. That's Tom Thibodeau basketball. He's a boring coach.
Yeah.
And not to keep comparing it to the Jazz, but Quinn Snyder getting ejected the other night and getting fired up and wanting to choke somebody out, that's fun to watch. And that Donovan Mitchell had a smirk on his face while he was ushering Quinn Snyder off the floor was fun to watch.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves will never be that. The Bucks will never be that. Eric Bledsoe, I'm not sure he speaks, and we covered him for 2 years. It's just...
It is what it is, man. But that's why I want LeBron to go to the Lakers. Showtime Laker basketball needs to come back. Like the league
that's
really
fun.
Needs
that's
that.
That's better. Exactly right, Jake. It's better for the NBA. Hey, I do want to talk about this Donald Trump thing in Utah because I'm really fired up about this. If you have not heard this, and I don't even know how do I say this tactfully? I'm a huge Utah guy. I love Utah. I love living in Utah. I love snowboarding in Utah. I like hiking in Utah. Like, I love the outdoors of Utah. So the news today that the state of Utah wants to name a highway after the Don.
Oh, good, good.
Really, really tweaked me the wrong way. HB 41. Would create the Donald J. Trump Utah National Parks Highway designation. And it passed a Utah House Committee 9-2. Hello?
Why?
I mean, are you kidding me? If you are the state of Utah, help me understand this. Remember that Donald Trump removed federal protections from Utah land. And whether it's Bear's Ears or whatever you want to point to. He removes federal protection that allows private companies to come in and mine land in Utah. And if you're a Utah guy, I guess you're okay with that based on some of the conversations on Twitter. But are we really going to name a road that goes through all of the major parks in Utah?
Arches, Zion...
Really? This is appalling.
It's absolutely horrible. I mean, I think this isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. I think this is those natural parks are special. Those are unique, elite, above and beyond beautiful national parks. And I think to name it after a president that's had such a tumultuous run so far, I just think is not great. And he's going to say, well, add it to the list of victories.
The governor of Utah said that it's premature and that if it got to him, he would likely veto it.
Uh-huh.
But come on. Is it really going to get that far? Really? I mean, is this because they want to honor him for shrinking two national monuments in Utah, which Obama had protected?
But, why would you shrink those? Like, I don't get that.
Because it essentially what it does when you remove federal protection...
Yeah, it creates jobs and allows people to mine stuff.
But it gives the land back to the state, which in most cases, I'm a huge fan of. I believe in states' rights. I'm a big fan of that. But in this particular situation, he did that, in my opinion, for his cronies. That are, you know, the mining community was thrilled with it, and I'm not going to say I'm a conservationist. I don't hug trees. But I love arches in Zion, and, like, it's just, we do so much damage to our interior. We do so much damage to our air and to our land. Why make this change? Like, why this? It doesn't make a lot of sense to do this.
Because I don't think he's not an environmentalist. He does not care.
Yeah, I mean, we put up a Twitter poll about this, and overwhelmingly, people don't want it. People don't want it, and I thought it was funny. Jim DeBacchus, and Jim's an interesting guy. He's a Utah State Senator. Jim DeBacchus said that if it gets to the Senate, he personally, Jim DeBacchus, will present an amendment to name the frontage road Stormy Daniels Rampway.
Come on.
You can't make this up.
Come on, man.
How do you get to the Donald Trump Utah National Park Highway? Oh, you just go up Main, turn left on Southern, and then you turn right onto the Stormy Daniels Rampway. I said you turn right on the Stormy Daniels Rampway.
That's not good. It's not good.
Come on, that's funny.
That's really funny, though. Like, that, in light of everything, and even today, all the updates on it, it just, that's hilarious.
Bro, you can't do this. I love Utah, and I will write as many letters as I need to write. HB 481's got to fail. You cannot have the Donald J. Trump Utah National Parks and Highway designation. You can't do it. All right, let's have a little fun to end the show today. All right, you get to pick your way you want to die. Like, have you ever thought about how you're going to die? I'm a fairly morbid dude.
Dude.
There was a story in South Africa of a triathlete, right? He is, riding his bike, training to race. And a couple of dudes jump out of the brush, knock him off his bike, and attempt to cut his legs off with a chainsaw.
Oh.
They failed, which if you think to yourself, well, how do you... I mean, it's a chainsaw, hot knife through legs, right? Like, this thing's going to cut his legs right off. Yeah, they didn't sharpen the chain.
Oh.
So it only cut halfway through his legs.
Oh.
And they couldn't cut through
torture.
The one leg. So they rolled him over and tried to cut his second leg off. It didn't work either. Okay, I don't want to die by having some a-hole cut my legs off to
right.
steal my bicycle.
So you can bleed out.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I also don't want to die from strychnine poisoning. Did you hear this story?
Ugh.
A former Russian spy was murdered in the United Kingdom by poisoning with nerve gas. And this former spy had defected to the UK and flipped and had become an intelligence agent for the UK. The Russians, who are notorious for poisoning people to death.
Are we talking about Red Sparrow, or is this like real life?
No, this is real life.
Oh, okay.
They got Sergei Skripal and his daughter. They poisoned them.
Savage.
Like, dude.
Savage death.
And this is... All of Putin's critics essentially have died of poisoning. So... I'm not saying if you want to pick your way, you want to die. I think we'd all like to go to sleep one night. If we're going to die, okay, I'll go to sleep. And, okay, that's how it'll end. I don't want to be in a terrible car accident. I don't want to be mauled by a tiger. I definitely don't want to drown.
So, wait, you don't want to be that kid that fell in the nature preserve or whatever it was and got its head left by the tiger? Remember
that
story?
Oh, no, that was a poacher.
Oh, that was a poacher.
That was a poacher. Who was there to poach a lion and instead got eaten, and the only thing the lions didn't eat was his head. They left his head and his rifle. There are better ways to die than that, by the way. But I don't want to drown. If there's one
drowning is dude.
I don't want to be poisoned by nerve gas. That's such a gnarly
anything
way to die.
Anything fire-related, I'll pass.
Yeah, just make it quick, man. Please. And I don't even know what that means, but...
Easy. Yeah. All right.
Finally.
Good talk.
Alexa. Hi, Alexa. So, Alexa, what time is it?
Hello.
It's 5:32 p.m. I don't know if you could hear her in the background or not. I have a full-on Alexa tower and a Dot or whatever it's called, an Echo
Dot.
Did you hear the story that Echoes have been laughing at their owners? Just out of the blue, there are many, many reports. One lady said she was laying in bed, unsolicited. She didn't say anything. Alexa just laughed at her with a scary ghost-like.
Okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. Why would you introduce this in your own bedroom?
I do have an Echo in my bedroom.
The homies are listening on the Echo Dot in your bedroom.
Okay,
and
so you believe people are listening.
Dude, this is the whole Xbox One thing.
Yeah.
And there's a setting on your Xbox. You can actually turn this off.
Yeah,
we did, actually, yeah. So on the Xbox One, it will always stay on. You can just say Xbox on, and it'll turn on. But to do that, it's always got to be listening 100% of the time. So it hears everything.
Alexa's listening for Alexa. The word, the trick. So you think it listens to everything you say?
I think it's listening. The machine is listening for Alexa, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't be taken advantage of.
What would you do if Alexa creepily laughed at you? And the problem is, it's not Alexa's voice that's laughing at you. It's a
like, what the hell?
In the middle of the night, your Echo your Echo's like. And Amazon admits that there is a defect that is making these things creepily laugh at people.
Can you replicate it? Like, can you make it do it, or is it just random?
No, it won't. I asked Alexa to laugh, and she wouldn't do it. She just went, like, no big deal. I would hit it with a hammer. I'm telling you.
I would unplug it and throw it out. I'm not doing it.
So who's listening?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's an avenue to listen.
Is it Donnie?
It could be MI6 or the Russians. I don't know.
But you really think...
I think it could be used.
You have an iPhone.
Yeah.
People can listen to you through your iPhone.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I don't think of the iPhone like that, but yeah, they could. That's right. That's
Do you
true.
Care if they're listening to you?
No, I don't, but I'm just saying, like... It's weird that would laugh like that. Yeah, like, that's weird, bro.
Just in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Or what if you're, like, having relations, if you're repopulating the Earth with his or her girlfriend or wife?
Like, if Donnie and Stormy were getting it.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's like,
the rampway.
Yeah, right. That'd be terrible. One last thing. National Cereal Day. We had Corn Pops the other day. What's the matter?
I'm disappointed we haven't found the unicorn.
Yeah, the unicorn marshmallow. We would have had more cereal today, but Jake, truth be told, Jake is sick. He's a little under the weather.
Yeah.
So way to troop out. I appreciate it. But today is National Cereal Day, and I have sworn off of Lucky Charms. I almost never eat sugar, or I shouldn't. I'm not diabetic or anything. I'm just trying not to be a fat ass. But so I generally don't eat sugar. But there's a new Lucky Charms marshmallow, and it's a unicorn. And I'm not going to have Lucky Charms until they release that thing. And I've been looking. Every time I go to Fry's Marketplace, I look to see.
Yeah.
Where is the freaking unicorn?
I don't know. And I'm disappointed that our Fry's Marketplace does not have it.
But we had Corn Pops Monday.
Bomb, dude. Dude,
Corn Pops are so good.
They warm the soul, just like the mac and cheese in the oven right now.
I don't know that they warm the soul.
Oh, they do. They do.
Okay. I don't know. The Corn Pops were really good. Your number one go-to cereal?
Fruity Pebbles.
How? You got to get off the Fruity Pebbles. It's either Golden Grahams
or Lucky Charms. Way up there, too.
Yeah, Golden. I'm a Lucky Charms guy.
Golden Grahams over Lucky Charms. Yeah.
Just for the milk alone.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles is way down on my list. Like Honey Smacks, Corn Pops. I love Shredded Wheat.
Peanut Butter Captain Crunch.
No. The problem with Peanut Butter Captain Crunch, it hurts your mouth when you chew it. It's too hard on like your gums and your teeth. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
But I actually like, I said this last week and somebody mocked me on Twitter. I love Crispix. Call me an old man. It's National Cereal Day today, March 7th. I like Crispix.
Yeah.
I like Wheaties. But if I'm going to a sugar cereal, it is Golden Grahams or Lucky Charms. And I'm not doing Lucky Charms until the unicorn's out.
I'm serious. I'm committed.
Okay. And I appreciate you being committed.
Yeah, we're not doing it until the unicorn comes out.
I hope you feel better, little buddy.
Thank you.
Until tomorrow, say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.